Good afternoon. This is John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, executive director of the Association of National Accounts Executives. I would like to welcome everybody to our Supply Chain Leaders series today. And I would like to welcome our guest, Brent Johnson, president and CEO of Intelair, formerly Amerinet. Brent, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate the opportunity to explain to people some of the confusion of what's happened, certainly in the last week and in the last 6 months. And there's a pretty good story that goes along with it. You want me to go ahead and just give a quick background and open it up for questions?
Yeah, that would be great. Just kind of, you could bring us up to speed how we got to where we are today.
Okay, good. As many of you know my past role was 10 years of Intermountain Healthcare, VP of Supply Chain, and Amerinet has existed for 27 years, and Intermountain has been some part of owner, but the last 7-8 years it's been 50% owner, but didn't run it more than just was was on the board. I was on the board the last 5 years, and Amerinet hadn't had a lot of wins in the last 4 or 5 years. They were kind of known in the industry as just kind of an average complacent GPO, but had significant good people, integrity, and a great customer base. 3,500 contracts in acute and 68,000 in non-acute. As a board, though, we had to do something with it, you know, either sell it or along came the idea of, well, why don't we buy it and morph it into something like a commercialization engine for best practices of supply chain that we've become very passionate about, and then best practices of everything else Intermountain Healthcare has or any other partner that comes along. And so leading 6 months up to July 1st, Intermountain pursued buying the other half of Amerinet, which are good friends and still good friends of ours. So July 1st, it became official. Intermountain was a complete owner of Amerinet, and Intermountain asked me to leave Intermountain and become the president and CEO of Amerinet. Because it's for-profit, Intermountain's not for-profit, I actually had to leave. Now, we made a lot of leadership changes. I brought in with me two strong operational people to help me run Amerinet. That's Jason Baumgartner, our chief sales officer, and Jeremy Belinsky, SVP, chief operating officer. And we bought, kind of running through the reasons, why did we buy Amerinet? We didn't buy Amerinet to make a lot of money. We bought it to make a difference, to be a model to the industry, kind of like the supply chain organization at Intermountain Healthcare. One of our goals was just to be a model to the industry, help wake up the industry as to what supply chain is. And if you're really invested in supply chain, the benefit would come. We wanted to share Intermountain's best practices as another reason, not just supply chain, but clinical. We wanted to leverage Amerinet's assets. If you tried to build an operational engine that didn't already exist, it'd take you 2 or 3 years. Amerinet was existing. And then help Amerinet get back to winning. So that's kind of the reason we bought Amerinet. Now, we knew also that if we're going to have new ownership, new leadership, new kind of a mission, because new company, because many of you have heard that, that I'm running a GPO is kind of funny all by itself, because I've been kind of an outspoken critic of GPOs, and now here I am one. And I always say, hang on, don't make fun of me. We didn't buy it to maintain it just as a GPO, but we wanted to transform it into a professional supply chain organization and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get away in the next few years from being a GPO in its center, but we want to teach people that where you can aggregate commodities and nuisance items across the national portfolio is only in the about 30% of the non-labor spend. But we want to help people understand total non-labor spend. We want to help people understand total cost, CQO, cost, quality, and outcomes in the total continuum of care, acute care and non-acute, understand. But regardless, I can go on and on, but from a provider-led, or we've done it in your culture, we bring a different both our business model as well as our background. our passion, experience, and knowledge kind of differentiates us from others. We're much smaller. We've got a long way to go. We're starting from a weak point. There's no question. But we're very intriguing to the industry. We're getting a ton of phone calls. You know, when you're ready to talk, Brent, we're ready to listen, says a lot of IDN supply chain vice president. Because GPOs of the past have tried to do everything, and you can't do everything from a GPO perspective. A certain part of it you've got to, you know, and I've even been critic of admin fees. But I don't know whether admin fees are going to change soon, but if someone doesn't talk about it, it'll never be addressed. And we'll still collect admin fees, but as you start going after the non-labor spend, the other 70% beyond the commodities, it's not going to be on the backs of admin fees. It's going to be consulting fees, management fees. And so we think over time, over the next year or two or three years, over 50% of our income will come from other things other than admin fees. So with that, we're excited about the new name. Because of the new ownership, new mission, where we're going, we felt like we had to change the name. So Intermountain was heavily involved with their consultants in creating a new name. The new name, the branding, the logo, the vision, the tagline are all brand new. We revealed it last Wednesday. The name of the new company is Intelair. Intelair, the last five letters, Alair, is in Latin meaning to nourish. Some people think, well, the INT means that it's Intermountain owned, and no, it's more around integrated. We want to sit down with people and talk about supply chain and meet people at where they're at and kind of nourish them as we can and be nourished by others. But it's a matter of having conversations with people, not just trying to throw everything in the kitchen sink at them and trying to make money off of them. That's not what we're about. So we're excited about our new name. And our tagline is elevating the health of healthcare and health being, you know, operational health, elevating the operational health of America's healthcare providers. And we want to be the essential partner for operational excellence in healthcare. So with that, let me just stop and let questions come.
Great. Thank you, Brent. And I tell our audience, too, if you are on the webinar, there is a question capability there. Please feel free to text in any questions you may have. In the last few minutes of today's conversation, we'll be fielding some questions from the audience through that chat mechanism. You beat me to it in your opening comment about having in the past been somewhat critical of GPOs and having come from outside of healthcare not so long ago. I remember, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I remember you referring to them somewhat as evil necessity, if you will. So you beat me to it, and the irony of you now running one is quite interesting.
It is ironic, there's no question I've gone to the dark side, and with solid criticism at me, but you know, I have to say, time out, watch and see what we do with this thing. And then hopefully I'll be forgiven for my dark side conversion.
Yeah, I always like when John Strong refers to himself as a converted GPO executive or reformed GPO executive. So it's interesting. You bring up the new name, and with the new name, you know, a new beginning. I noticed in one of the releases, you know, you touched on it even in your opening comments, kind of the old format being based on fees and contracts, and it seems like the new format, maybe not today, but in the next couple years, will be an offering of comprehensive solutions around all the non-labor spend, the people, the processes, the technologies. Can you expound on that a little bit and tell us what that looks like?
Yeah, you know, I think that if we take for granted that GPOs are absolutely necessary, it takes 1,900 contracts to run a hospital, and supply chains or hospital organizations aren't in big enough organizations generally to be able to invest enough in purchasing and supply chain to maintain 1,800 contracts. So a lot of that bread and butter has to be done by GPOs. Now, if truth be known, you know, hospitals should pay a management fee for that. But tradition has it that we can charge the suppliers an admin fee that we, of course, share back a lot of it back to the hospitals. But that is what we have today. Yeah, I would be disappointed if that is what we have as a model 5 and 10 years from now. But regardless, it's what we have today, and the Marinette's very much a proponent or very much receives benefit from that. But beyond the 30% of commodities that can that are in that GPO for, portfolio, the rest of it, the IT, the consulting, professional service, physician preference items, you can go on and on, all the services that are non-traditional, that all of those pretty much have to be done by you if you're a provider, with your stakeholders, with your physicians, in your culture. And so, and there's 10 to 20% benefit on everything, whether it's products or all those services. And if you're not managing, the decision and the strategy of how you're managing that other 70%, you're losing 10 to 20% off the bottom line. And we have a burning platform in healthcare, because if you don't get the rest of the low-hanging fruit in supply chain, then we're going to be laying nurses off a bedside, or we're going to be going bankrupt, et cetera, because we can't afford healthcare where it's going and where we're going with healthcare reform with reduced reimbursement rates. We've got to get all the benefits out of the supply chain before we head over to the clinical side. So some of it is education, but now let me get to the meat of your question. So we're going to develop consulting services. Best practices are either from Intermountain or from everybody else that comes along with us to help people manage the rest of the non-labor spend. We'll teach people free how to do it. We'll do a little bit more for a fee, or see people want it but just can't do it. They can outsource it to us. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of benefit there. Now, what are we talking about? You start with the biggest thing we buy, pharmacy. The entire pharmacy suite of solutions is something people need to pay a whole lot more attention to. Intermountain has a surgical services technology called Procron that is absolutely the best thing since sliced bread when we start rolling it out. Telehealth services, revenue cycle services, shared services in a box services. There's just a lot of things that healthcare doesn't run like a business. That's already been proven best practice that we can offer people. And there will be other mechanisms to pay for it, you know, management fees and sharing the benefits or consulting fees. Now, people will say, but Brent, you're nothing more than a consultant. Yeah, maybe. Other than we've done it, we're provider-led, and we have the experience and knowledge. And then someone says, well, you're just another GPO. Yeah, but we're smaller, nimble, and provider-led, the only not-for-profit provider-led. Our business model will drive us. We're not about making hundreds of millions of dollars. We've got to be very responsible for the financial value that we paid for Amerinet, now Mentalair. But we want to sit down with people and have supply chain discussions. We want to help them understand the importance of leveraging and partnering with suppliers. You know, traditionally, you know, GPO contracts are not my contracts as a provider. They're the GPO contracts. And I couldn't change it or develop the supplier relationship there because it's not mine. But on all these other areas, we want to teach people supplier relationship management like Intermountain Healthcare has and like other people are doing very much a part of. And then the processes, you know, the procure and pay processes. Every time, once you've decided how much you're paying for something, every time you touch something is an added cost. So we want to make sure that we educate people on the proper, you know, distribution costs, logistics costs, procure to pay, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of things outside just the basic GPO portfolio of commodities that if they're not managing well, they're losing money significantly.
It's interesting, Brent, because if I hear you correctly, the legacy format of collecting contract administration fees very much will stay in place for that 30% of non-labor spend, what a lot of us would refer to as commodities, if you will. And then the rest of the stuff that we're trying to aggregate into purchases will be more of a net pricing format, and any services that you offer around those will be on a management fee or a fee basis.
Yeah, or just free. You know, we want to be a model to the industry, you know?
Yeah.
And if we can help people. For example, let me tell you one thing that we're going to do. We're going to sit down with providers and say, you know what? As much investment as your senior leadership will let you do, you should invest in your own self-contracting, and we'll show you how. How many other GPOs say, you ought to self-contract. No way. They say, we're God's gift to men. We're the best thing since sliced bread. You don't invest in the supply chain. We are supply chain. No, 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 no. So we're going to help people do self-contracting and get better at all those other areas that I talked about, the 70%.
Yeah, it's interesting. And so a great differentiator for you is being provider-led organization and being not committed to whether it's your national GPO contract with Intelair or if the best practice is to do it locally. It's truly getting into strategic sourcing and what the best solution is for that customer.
You're great. We could bring you over as a sales guy. You're very good.
All right. Let me give you some questions that are coming in from the audience, if I could. Will your field sales structure change, and if so, how?
Yeah, it's already changed. Jason Baumgartner has, rather than everybody selling, we're converting most people to customer service relationship managers with our major customers. And then we have a small workforce of just 5 or 6, what we call them are hunters, and that doesn't come across very good, but people that sit down with large providers and just have good supply chain discussions with them. So not everybody's going to be selling. We've converted a lot of them to account management and help everybody where they're at. People are already customers. They don't even know all the solutions that we have now or that we're going to be developing. So they need to know. So, yeah, we've restructured.
Do you have any insight on what procure-to-pay technologies you'll bring to the non-acute market?
To the non-acute? That's a special area all by itself. You know, what's interesting is that Amerinet, now Intelair, has as large of base both spend and customers of non-acute as anybody in the industry. It's kind of one of our strengths. And they need procure-to-pay technology because they're so divergent and small, they don't want to receive. They want an easy way to order. It's hard to keep them trained. There's a lot of turnover. And so a lot of times the distributors just go in there and they're everything to them. And that needs a lot of attention. I do not have I don't have a solution right now. I don't think our folks do, but other people in the organization might have more answers on that, but it's not something I can talk about right now.
Sure, okay. Yeah, it's kind of a specific question. The other supposition you make, and you've made this even before coming to Amerinet and then Intelair, was sort of the idea of strategic sourcing and true supplier management. I think if you talk to a lot of our readers in the Journal of Healthcare Contracting and vice presidents of supply chain across the nation, they feel like they've really improved over the last few years, certainly since the financial crisis, 2007, 2008. But what do you see if you could paint with a broad brush how they need to get better at that, and then feel free to kind of tie the dots maybe to what your future model looks like that. But what are the 2 or 3 things you see that they need to get better at really to go into the future so we're not cutting things like nurses by the bedside and some of the more harmful cuts that will immediately impact patient satisfaction and outcomes?
Yeah. We built the supply chain center, opened it up 3.5 years ago. Before that, we were building, hiring and training a lot of resources to do strategic sourcing at Intermountain Healthcare while we still needed a Marinette for the basics. When people come, and there's been a lot, 60, 70 major IDNs have come to our supply chain center, and as I'm talking about Intermountain, put on my old Intermountain hat on. When they come to the supply chain center, they say, holy Toledo, Brent, how did you justify spending $40 to $50 million and build this thing? It wasn't just for distribution, and I don't think self-distribution is for everybody. But once we realize we're going to take our distribution center and our fleet and put it in one place, and then we found this very professional location, we said, let's bring everybody. So all the strategic sourcing, analytic accounts payable, purchasing. So we have supply chain, all supply chain services under one roof, almost 400 people in a 327,000 square foot facility. But people come there and they say, Brent, how did you possibly do this? And my comment is clear, and it's a long way to answering your question. That is, when your senior leadership understands the importance of supply chain, like Intermountain senior leadership does, your supply chain will look like this in some form. So the number one thing that people we need in healthcare is senior leadership in healthcare understanding the importance of supply chain, hiring good, talented leaders, hiring talent, investing in the resources in the supply chain. Because in healthcare, supply chain means med-surg, materials management, which means just managing the physical assets of med-surg products. Outside of healthcare, supply chain means manage the entire non-labor spend. So we need stronger leadership. We need more resources, more investment, and that's absolutely critical. And then once you have that, then you got to be able to have the right strategies to bring forth to senior leadership that can add value. And that's when you need good suppliers. You need to understand CQO. You need to understand good strategic supply chain, best practices. And where do you get those? I mean, you go to SMI, you go a little bit to ARM. We hope to be a model to the industry on supply chain best practices and beyond because of our relationship to Intermountain Healthcare. Let me make one thing certain that convey it to you. Even 6 months ago when we bought Marinette, we didn't know for sure the relationship between Intermountain's contracting, because now we own two contracting groups, so sourcing groups, one in Salt Lake under Intermountain's name and one in St. Louis under Intelair's name. And you're going to find over the next couple of months that we're going to be more integrated than we ever thought we were going to be, and which is beneficial for the industry, beneficial for suppliers, and beneficial for Intelair.
That's great, Brent. I don't know anyone in the industry that's been more vocal about talent, especially on the supply chain side of the table, and that's been a common cause I know you've worked hard on for years, and then the talent you brought into Intermountain, makes it obvious your commitment to that, so not surprised to hear you say that. Maybe some of the more mechanical questions coming through, if you will. Will Intelair continue with the annual customer meeting this year?
Yes. Now let me think. We just had our national sales meeting last week. We are having an executive forum in San Diego that we've always had the week of February 11th to the 14th. We have the executive forum where a lot of suppliers come in March, and that's in Tucson. That will take place. And then, of course, our Intelair national membership meeting at the Paris in May in Vegas. So all the traditional meetings are going to happen this year, but on steroids. We're investing big time into them. They're going to be much bigger because we got to get our message out and some of the changes that are happening to Amerinet into the new Intelair got to be known by everybody. Critical year for us.
Great. Maybe putting the lens of your contracted suppliers on for a second, how do you envision the current contracted suppliers helping Intelair reach the vision of the new company?
I think it's going to be an evolution and a transition. But when we do category management, meaning go out for strategic sourcing, contracting for a particular scope, you're going to find Intermountain and Intelair aligned. So right now, we might be a little bit dysfunctional, and we have different major suppliers for different scopes of categories. But you're going to find that over time, as we pick one category up at a time, they'll be more aligned. So I think that suppliers will see a greater unity between the two. And with 1,900 contracts, obviously that's not going to be done in 3 months. But I fully expect it to be done in the next 12 to 18 months.
What are your kind of a larger industry-wide question, if you will. What are your thoughts on the recent consolidations of the GPO market? It's kind of interesting to think here in short order, the long tried and true brands of the GPO market, the names will be gone. They're all they're all going to be new, I think, except for Premier, if I'm not mistaken. But I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the recent consolidation, VHA, Novation, MedAssets in particular. Any great insight on that?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, I think it's an opportunity for us, because I think that those groups are going to be dysfunctional for a little bit, just trying to put everything together, new organization, new strategies, and so forth. And even their customers have a lot of question marks in them, and while they're questioning, they're reaching out and inquisitive with us. But, you know, why would someone want to be that big? That's really interesting. Is bigger better in the GPO market in healthcare? That's the big question. And let me tell you, bigger is better if you want to reduce the cost of creating your contracts per customer, so that you can give them more share back of the admin fee. Does that make sense? So
yes.
If you want to be the low-cost provider of GPO contracts and give a greater share back, if that's all you want to do is be a GPO, then bigger the better is probably where you want to go. But if you want to be flexible, nimble, a supply chain professional, and sit down and meet the needs, you know, custom, smart solutions, depending on the maturity level of an organization, and meet them at that maturity level and then ask them where they want to be and just offer solutions and let them pick and choose. You need to be smaller and flexible and a little more nimble, so it offers an opportunity for provider-owned, and there's several of us, provider-owned GPOs and regional GPOs. But the size, if they just want to be bigger, I think that they're saying they're doubling down on being just a GPO. And that isn't where we're going to be.
Interesting. Interesting take on it. And do you see your growth coming from converting health systems to Intelayer, or being a second option of high value to some of those systems that are members invested with some of those larger national GPOs?
I think both. Yeah. We're not out saying you got to use our entire portfolio, or we're not going to talk supply chain with you. If we say that, are we a model to the industry? No. Do we have a noble mission? No. We really are want to help the industry understand. And so, but we also, you know, we kind of have a weak portfolio in the past, I admit. But that's being strengthened quite a bit. We immediately brought over a committed portfolio that Intermountain developed, and many of your suppliers know that because they're a part of it. And then we're going to strengthen the rest of the portfolio for those who can't commit. But it'll be, well, stronger contracting, better pricing to offer people. But you got to be all in on everything or not at all? No. But
great.
I think,
and then what advice?
Want to be. Sorry.
No, that's okay, Brent. What advice do you give to a supplier to initiate contact and move forward with Intelayer, maybe one that's not on contract? Is there a website or an initial point of contact that they can go to start the conversation?
Let me tell you where we are in the flux of that. Richard Bagley from Intermountain, who led strategic sourcing for the last 5 years, has been turned to a new role of business development, kind of Jason Baumgartner's old role before I brought him over into Intelayer. But Bagley is in charge of a transformation project of deciding exactly how the new organization ought to look and integrated with the two contracting groups, strategic sourcing groups. And Craig Colford heads up. So Craig Colford heads up strategic sourcing now and supplier relationship management solutions for Intermountain, reporting to Joe Walsh. Bagley is leading this group across the two. Jeremy Belinsky, Chief Operating Officer, is over contracting, but he's designated Tom Wesley from Marinette, now Intelayer. So contact points, Tom Wesley on the Marinette side, Intelayer side. Bagley is doing some things in between, and Craig Colford. Those are the key components.
Great. Thank you, Brent. We're up against the time clock here to wrap at 1:30 Eastern. Wanted to see, we've covered a lot of ground in our, just wanted to give you the consideration. Any closing remark? Might I miss something you wanted to touch on?
No, it's, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to tell our story, because, you know, it could be confusing to people if they didn't hear it exactly, but it's easy to say that we're now, you know, owned by Intermountain. It's a new name, new ownership, new leadership, new direction, new company. We have the passion, experience, and knowledge, and we know what we want to become. and we're excited for the opportunity. And we know that it's the right thing because we got a lot of people. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are calling us saying, when you're ready to talk, we're ready to listen. And we just want to strengthen ourselves a little bit before we go too strong into the industry, especially into the larger IDMs.
Great. Thank you kindly, Brent. And with that, I'd like to wrap today's call. And I'll tell you on a personal note, here at the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, we'll be watching closely and eager to report your progress. We do have a meeting coming up May 10th and 11th, our IDN West's Market Insights in Marina Del Rey. And Brent will be one of our keynote speakers. If you want to hear more about it, you can learn more about that meeting at jhconline.com and click on the events menu for the agenda. And with that, I'll wrap today's call. Thank you, Brent, very kindly, and best of luck with the new name and the new beginning.